Jonah Crismore, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Now, you are mixing up the holiday film cheer this year at Cinema Center, beginning Friday with a kick Christmas weekend. So, first of all, what was your motivation for this off-the-wall event?
Well, you know, there's so many different films that kind of fall into the Christmas category of films, and there's a lot of subcategories that come off from that. And we were thinking that it would be fun to have films that you won't necessarily think of as Christmas films, such as action films. So for that reason, we're going to show two action films that take place around Christmas time. Die Hard, one of the first star-making vehicles for Bruce Willis, as well as the Tim Burton Batman film, Batman Returns, because no one does Christmas quite like Tim Burton.
I'll agree with you there. So why did these particular two action-packed films make your wish list?
Well, Die Hard, because I think a lot of people view it as an actual Christmas film. So there's that. And we felt it was kind of appropriate with the recent death of Alan Rickman. His first big role was in this film to pay tribute to that great actor. And then with Batman Returns, I kind of feel like with the recent Batman movies that Tim Burton, what he's offered the comic book genre has been kind of ignored. And I don't think a lot of people even think of Batman Returns as a Christmas film, even though it's very much one. So we just felt like that would be kind of a fun way to reintroduce these films to some people who may not know about them, as well as just do something goofy for the holiday season.
Well, it sounds like you're going to succeed on both points. I am kind of curious, do you think there are mainstream moviegoers that aren't familiar with these films?
I definitely think most people are familiar with Die Hard. I think most people probably have heard of Batman Returns. There's probably some mainstream filmgoers who don't associate them with Christmas. And there's something interesting about the fact that their setting is at this time they're supposed to bring peace on Earth, and there's lots of guns blazing, action, you know, lots of combat type scenes and everything like that. It's really exhilarating, really fun to watch. And there are going to be later night screenings, so it might be fun just to kind of watch this with our ruckus audience, have some beer, and just hang out.
Is it safe to say that revisiting these two particular movies on the big screen is a special treat? Is that going to just in itself draw a crowd?
Yeah, for sure. Die Hard especially, I think that a lot of people grew up with the film, but they didn't necessarily see it in theaters. So this is going to probably be one of the first times that they're going to have that treat. And it does have a different vibe in the big screen. You know, like there's a lot of explosions. There's a lot of action sequences. You can see really the artistry that was put on display with that film, considered of action films for that reason. And in Batman Returns, it's such an odd movie. You can definitely see, you know, after the success of the first Batman film that Tim Burton did with Michael Keaton, that Warner Brothers kind of handed him the keys to the castle and said, do your thing. And boy, did he, because it's just a strange film with great production design, as you would expect with a Tim Burton film. But it's so much darker and creepier than most people would associate with a Batman film.
Interesting. Or a Christmas film, of course.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and that's something that Tim Burton's done quite a bit. Of course, he's a major creative force behind The Nightmare Before Christmas. There's some Christmas elements in Edward Scissorhands. You can definitely tell as an artist that there's something about Christmas that fascinates him, and he likes to infuse his kind of dark sense of humor and dark worldview on the Christmas season. And it's an interesting take for sure.
Curiously, both of these movies, which are big box office hits, they were released in the summer. Were these impactful when they came out dead summer and they were Christmas?
Well, you know, I think it was a different time also for films where they kind of had more life in theaters. So you could release a film in summertime in the theaters. They knew that the action scenes, explosions, the stars in the film would bring people to see them. They would stay for a while in the theaters. And then by the time they're ready to be on home video, it'd be Christmas time and they would make perfect Christmas gifts for everyone. So it was just, there was much more of a long-term release goal, which is much different than now, where sometimes, you know, a film after it's out of theaters will only have like a 3-week window before it's in home video and ready for people to watch on Netflix or however a lot of people watch films. So I think that was more of the studios thinking of how they can make the most money from this in the two markets at the time, with home video and the theatrical release of them.
Very interesting. Who do you anticipate your audience will be for this set of films?
I think for both films, it's going to be a lot of people who grew up with the films, but probably grew up with them watching them on TV, and they want that different experience, you know. And then also the people who just like kind of the late night theater experience. It's a little more, they say, ruckus. There's a little more yelling at the screen, which is okay. Maybe the libations are going a little bit more strong at that time. So people who like watching films in that atmosphere are also the people who are going to come see these films.
Very interesting. Okay, the next week, you're actually balancing the naughty versus niceness of that set of films with a very special version of a very special film, and that is Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life. What makes this so special?
Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life is celebrating its 70th anniversary this year, and there was a restoration that was done by Paramount where they went back to the negatives and really cleaned up the picture. So we're going to show this film that's been seen thousands upon thousands of times since its release on TV, especially in a way that's never been seen before. And it's also, I feel like at this time, especially, a real sense of people wanting community. There's maybe a kind of a sense for some sort of come together moment. And since It's Wonderful Life is such a film about community, about one person's impact within that community, we were very lucky to have this film available to us to show. We're going to show it the 22nd through the 24th, so Christmas Eve. But on the 23rd at 6:30, we're going to have an event called It's a Wonderful Life Celebration, where we're going to have some hot cocoa, some food from Zinnia's Baked Goods, mulled wine, things like that. And it's just a chance for people to kind of hang out, come together, have fun with the holiday spirit. We're going to light a Christmas tree, just do a lot of things that people probably are doing with their families, but we're doing at Cinema Center, and then see the film at 7:30. It's such a testament to that film's lasted for 70 years. And I really hope that this is a film that will be available to us year after year. And then maybe we at Cinema Center showing this film at Christmas time will start becoming a tradition for families in this community.
That would be fantastic. And I do wonder, and I know that the two action films that you're showing are high on your list of favorite Christmas films. Where does It's a Wonderful Life rank on your list?
It's one of those films where it's just always kind of been there that I think I took it for granted probably well into my adulthood. But now it's a film that I definitely see why it's lasted as long as it has. I definitely see why it's kind of one of those films that truly, I think, demonstrate what the holiday season's supposed to be about. And it's definitely the season that it's most idealized, and there's nothing wrong about trying to reach that point. So where it lands on my list, I don't know. I don't know if I really have a list of top holiday films, but it's definitely a classic that I appreciate and I watch at least once every Christmas season.
Good for you. And now you're sharing it with all of the area, and I think that's great. Again, who do you anticipate your audience to be for this film?
Well, I hope it's families. That's really the whole point of this, is so that people can bring children, grandchildren, everyone. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be people who I think have probably seen this film 1,000 times, and they're coming because they love it, and they just want to share it with the community of film lovers here in town.
That's a great sentiment and a great opportunity for them to do so. Most curiously, how much of a crossover do you predict folks attending both weekends, both film fairs?
Well, we hope that there would be a big one. I mean, I really do think there's some people out there that just go searching out for Christmas films at this time of year, and they'll see it, whether it's Die Hard or It's a Wonderful Life. If it's happening at Christmas time, they're going to see it.
And then you have Cinema Center family lovers, too. So
yes,
you've got a good drawing circle. Good for you. Okay, so you're sharing vintage pop culture and perennially solid gold with this lineup, Jonah. Besides that bond of Christmas, what message do each of these films have in common?
Honestly, within all three films, there's an element of hope. John McClane in Die Hard is going up against incredible odds. He's just a regular guy stuck in this kind of towering inferno of terrorists and guns and mayhem, trying to rescue his wife from the worst Christmas party that, in the history. With Batman Returns, same thing, where they have this sociopath that's going to become mayor of Gotham City and turn of kind of a bad situation to a much, much worse one. And then It's a Wonderful Life. Of course, that's about hope. I mean, that's what, everybody, I think, hopes that what they're doing is making waves and ripples that are affecting people's lives throughout their community and making a positive impact within that. And then George Bailey has that chance to see that effect, and that the future is not necessarily concrete within the story of It's a Wonderful Life. So yeah, definitely, I think hope is a important element for everything within the Christmas season, because it's towards the end of the year. We're looking at what's coming around the corner for us with New Year's right there. So yeah, that's what I think is common with all three films.
Jonah Crismore is the executive director of Cinema Center. Jonah, thank you so much for joining us today, and happiest of holidays and holiday movie memories.
Same to you, Julia.